God by standing while we read his word. Verse 1, Psalm 24, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." It is an all-encompassing verse. Everything belongs to him. Nod your head if you understand that. Nod your head if you think that's hard to live out. Me, mine, and mine. Is there anything a kid learns any quicker than no, than mine? And we've been battling with mine ever since, haven't we? Psalm 24, verse 1. Then Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew 6, verse 19. The Bible says, "Lay not for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." In the past 2 weeks here in the church, where mice come through and steal. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves don't break through nor steal. There are no alarm systems in heaven," praise the Lord. Verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." 19 and 20 don't bother us too badly. 21 kills us. There's an equivocation. You act out your priorities. What matters to you is utterly transparent. And so in our relationship series, we've been walking through some things. Last week, we looked at faithfulness and lives of three very godly women in very challenging situations. Today, I'll see if I can help you. What does the Bible say about finances? What's the Bible say about finances? And let me see if I can help you see why it is a spiritual thing. Pray with me. Father, front to back, left to right, I pray you'd help us. Help us to hear, understand, and obey. I pray I'd speak clearly, enunciate well. More than that, I pray you, the Holy Spirit of God, would prick our hearts. Help us. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us. I pray even now you would draw people to yourself. There's one here today who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior. I pray that today will be the day they confess you, the one who is worthy. We ask it in your son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. Brother Marston and I have been talking, and Sister Marston, so hopefully soon we'll be able to unveil some things. And he was talking about some marriage help and some classes and things like that, and some things, man, that's just going to be fantastic. And I've been thinking along these lines here a little bit more. And I got to do a little bit of survey. I need to find this out. There's no camera pointed at you. It's just me. Just me. How many of you in here, you have cash on or near you? Cash. That is a lot more than I thought. None of you, your last name is Holloman. And cash. How many of you are card-only people? Card, swipe, Apple Pay. How many of you are so broke you don't even know where your cards or your cash is? Anybody like that? That's more hands than I thought, yeah. Cards. How many of you are budget people? How many of you have a budget? How many of you have a budget? All right. You know, Larry Burkett said years ago, a budget is telling your money where to go rather than wondering where it went. And I like that. How many of you, it's a digital budget, a spreadsheet or something like digital? How many of you, it's paper? How many of you, it's on the back of a napkin or something like that? How many of you, it's at the end of an argument? All right. Budget cards. How many of you reconcile? Anybody here reconcile checking, savings? Oh, that's like five of you. And the ones of you who raised it are ashamed. Yeah. And how many of you hope the bank's got it right? Is that what it is? The rest of you reconcile things. How many of you equate finances or money with stress? Finances, money with stress. How many of you are so stressed you can't raise your hand? How many of you don't need to raise your hand up? You need to raise your hand towards somebody sitting near you. Sitting near you. Yeah, there we go. So finances and stress. And then finally, anybody ever been involved in a fight? Maybe not a fisticuff fight, but I'm sorry. What do we call it at our house? We don't call it arguments. Discussions. Anybody ever been involved in a discussion about finances? Some of you got two hands and a foot up. Yeah. And it's those kind of things. You can be dating. You can be single. You can be all the kind. Anybody, by the way, you ever been mad? Nobody else had anything to do with it. You've been mad at what you did? Anybody ever had any more month left at the end of your money? Or had a sure thing and the sure thing wasn't a sure thing? There's few things in our life that tell on us other really than our speech, like what we do with stuff. What we do with stuff. So if you're clenched right now, if your shoulders are tight and your jaw's locked and you're kind of firming up, I'm not preaching on giving. I did that really the first time I'd done that in over a year was several months ago. I'm going to mention generosity, but I want to talk a little more broadly. I find folks, man, just really surprised. Larry Burkett, as I mentioned before, somewhere in the 80s, he was a successful engineer, and he at one point just sat down and cataloged all the things that the Bible said about finances, about stuff and all, and published a little book, and that kind of launched some things. If you're familiar with the radio personality, Dave Ramsey, Dave built on Burkett's work in a lot of ways, and another guy named Ron Blue, and at least in the West, it was really the first time we'd ever kind of looked at that kind of thing, what's kind of common now. But I find out most folks, man, if mom or dad or stepmom or stepdad didn't help you, you don't have a clue. The truth of the matter is they may have just figured out that the easiest way to deal with this is just yell at each other, be mad with each other, my money, your money, these kind of things. Young people grow up thinking, man, if I want a burger, I get a burger. If I want to do this, I get this. And payments are the only way to do things. They don't know about savings, don't know about cash. It's hysterical to me. Some of the most successful things right now on social media are people cash stuffing. You know what that is? That's the envelopes. They take their money out and they spend it ahead of time so they make sure they got money for their bills. And they're considered geniuses. Man, that's as old as the Bible, making sure that you got your money for your bills ahead of time. And so we're talking about this. No one's intrinsically good at this. Nod your head if you understand what I just said. Nobody's intrinsically good at this. We're intrinsically good at being bad with stuff. We will on our own do what, man? We will waste things knowing that it doesn't really matter. We don't look for the future. We don't look for things that are eternal. And so we really, really struggle. Say, preacher, why are you preaching on this? Why are you preaching on this? Again, this is just some things that I have read through the years. I really want to think it goes back to a guy named Burkett. It may go back to a guy named Kluth, the arrangement of this. Because I've had to learn horrendously quickly through this. We were broke at our wedding. We had $3.69 to our name at the rehearsal dinner. I had a paycheck on the way. I was about to take my bride in. Everything had transitioned. We left with more money than that. And somebody got a three-quarters of a cow. They gave us a quarter of the cow. We couldn't afford baked potatoes, but we ate steak like four nights a week when we first got married. We were so dysfunctional here. We'd get to going well. We'd move ministries. We'd take a cut in pay. I went to teach at a Christian college, took a severe cut in pay. Riley was born. We were doing all those kind of things right about the time I was transitioning. I had shoulder surgery. Riley had a disease that attacked his heart. We finally just gave up on trying to figure out what the bills were. We put them on 4x6 cards and we taped them to the wall. And as we paid them off through the months, we just started praying, Lord, let us be able to see the paneling in our house. And so we do those kind of things. So when I talk about this, and many times in our marriage, man, I've worked two jobs, worked a night job, worked a Saturday job, even when I was doing another thing. When I talk about this, I want to say from me to you, man, not only do I understand it, but I'm glad somebody took some time and shared some principles with me. So you can get out of the pressure cooker. So you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So you can do some things that if you drop dead tomorrow, you'll stand before the Lord knowing that I have honored him in this area. Some of you right now, Brother Adrian, I thought he was going to take my thunder here. In counseling, 30-some years of counseling couples, I've learned couples argue about three things: before they're married, after they're married, and while they're getting engaged, whatever. They argue about money, they argue about the bedroom, and they argue about communication. They do not argue about it in that order, and typically all three affect the other. And you lose an argument, and all of a sudden somebody freezes you out, and you're going, what did I do? Well, you won the argument. And so we have real trouble here. Most of the time people are savers, and one's a saver, one's a spender. If you have two savers, you're both dull and boring. You bring your own Kool-Aid out to eat. You put the packets in because you don't want to pay for the soda. You are boring people. If both of you are spenders, you are the life of the party, but you are broke, but you're a lot of fun. You're a lot of fun. And so we're looking at this. So what does the Bible say to us? Whether you're single again, whether you're married, whether you do this. Again, don't forget, everybody looks great in church. Everybody's smiling. Plastic. You could have committed Harry Carey and ran old people off the road on the way here because you were so mad. You get here now. How you doing? Good, brother. How are you? And I got news for you. Money, bedroom, communication. That is the crux of things you argue about. So what does the Bible say to us here? What does the Bible say to us? So if you'll write quickly, I'll talk quickly, and we'll kind of go from it. Number one, true wealth is not measured. True wealth not measured in money. True wealth just not measured in money. And all the broke people said, amen, there you go. Proverbs 23, verse 4, labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. Will you set your own eyes upon that which is not? For riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. To have it is to spend it. To have it is to have somebody come after it. You can get it. You can hoard it. You can be like Silas Marner. You can bury it in a hole and then forget where you buried it. All those kind of things. It is not there. And the world has told us this is what it is. We even say, we have an expression, retail therapy. One guy said it like this. You're out spending money. You don't have to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like. And true wealth is not measured. It cannot be measured in stuff. Cannot be measured stuff. Why is that? Because it does two things. It exposes us. Money exposes us. It exposes our relationship with God. Expose our relationship with God. We read it just a minute ago. We read the companion verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one, love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Ecclesiastes 5:10, he that loves silver not be satisfied. He that loves abundance with increase. This also is emptiness. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, for the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he's not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passed away, and the lust of the he that does the will of God abides forever. You got to understand, man, our relationship to this exposes things. Andrew Wood, who was here a few weeks ago and is the head of the Knoxville Hope Resource Center, he said something, man, just stuck with me, especially at this stage of my life. You working long hours and doing all this kind of stuff, the only people who remember you worked overtime in 10 years are your family. Nobody else cares. Now, you ought to provide. By a guy who doesn't provide, they didn't provide for a family worse than an infidel. You work hard. You work hard. And God help us folks in their mid-20s and early 30s, and all they want to do is game and mess around and all this kind of stuff, and they can't be bothered to make the bed or do the dishes or fold the laundry, and for sure don't take care of things as long as their needs are met. They'll balk at something happening, but they'll buy a $70 game. You need to grow up and get right with God. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Delayed adolescence is turned into adolescent adulthood, and there is no such animal. But expose our relationship. That's why people, man, you start talking about generosity or something, where you thought I was going to go down that road, man, you all clinch up. Why? Because you got a wrong relationship to your stuff. Got a wrong relationship. The earth is the Lord's, and everything therein, including you and me, it expose our relationship with other. You let somebody borrow some money and not pay it back, you figure out where you are. Anybody here, you just like... Because why? Because we're stuck there, right? It exposes so many things about us. Peter Anderson says, your faith and your family are always more valuable than your paycheck. Don't compromise what matters most in your pursuit of wealth. Money does. Number two, you still with me? Say amen. Don't forget, the Bible says debt's a form of slavery. Get out as fast as you can. Debt's a form of slavery. Get out as fast as you can. I was trying to buy something for Andre the other day. God help me, I was on Etsy. Anybody here know what Etsy is? How many of you think you'd like to see what the preachers looked at on Etsy? It has to do with books, mainly. But I was buying something for Andrea. I was starting to buy something for Andrea, and they weren't going to be able to get it here. They had earrings that you could put a picture, like, of your children on. And I thought this was interesting. I was really annoyed that Etsy had recommended this to me. And I don't know what I've been searching for to make Etsy think that. But anyway, and so it was there, but it wasn't going to make it here for Mother's Day and stuff. And so I didn't do it. But I got to that point where I was there, and it said you could, it was like $20, $25. It was like, you can make four payments. I'm like, make four payments? Why do I need to make four payments on $25? And then I looked at the interest and all that. I'm like, man, this is crazy. Then I went down the rabbit hole. I searched for the company and I found out they're a $1 billion company, and people were making four payments on $8. And they're making four payments on an Uber burger, and Uber Eats. And I'm thinking, man, we are crazy again. But the psychology is you can't afford it, but you might could afford this. No, I don't want to get used to debt. Debt's a form of slavery. That's a form of slavery. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender. The borrower is servant to the lender. Andrea and I have led groups for the financial peace class 7-8 times now. One of the favorite things we do, man, is about week three, we invite everybody to get their credit cards, and we do plastic surgery. We get them to chop them up. A couple of times I've seen people tear up. One time we had one class ran for 9 or 10 weeks, and they got rid of like $90,000 worth of their credit card debt. They just got serious about it, and they went crazy, and it was 10 or 12 couples, and anyway, and man, they just were going nuts, man, and they were doing this, and like, we have never felt more free. Hey, look, when you get rid of some of the goofy debt, man, you got options. You can be generous. Be generous. By the way, mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma and grandpa, you teach those younger than you. Save up your money. Pay when you get there. Don't borrow everything, because debt's a form of slavery. Get out as fast as you can. Doctor told me I was really sick. One of the only things gave me any comfort was we own the house. That was it. I couldn't imagine going through what I was about to go through. I could not have imagined we'd have owed everybody in the company store if I'd have put 4 payments on a set of earrings that were $25. You got to get serious about this, and we can give you some instruction. We can help you, and we're hoping to offer a financial peace soon and do those kind of things. But debt's a form of slavery. By the way, how many of you know folks who are up to their eyeballs and stuff? They have spent money they don't have to impress people they don't like, to buy stuff they don't need. And debt's a form of slavery. The Bible again. The Bible makes it clear that you need to understand this. So what about borrowing for a house? No, we're getting a little far afield here. But you understand, we borrow for things so many times just because we won't wait a little while. Is everybody with me? We need to learn to do that. We need to learn to, number three, lasting wealth comes from consistent discipline. Saving, working, living on less than you have. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gotten by vanity shall not be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. All the stars got sucked into some of the Dogecoin and some of the crypto stuff. There was one Hollywood type person who said no, and her father used to be a broker. And of all people, you would think, and she said, I will not endorse it. Now, these other superstars are on the hook because they were advertising unsecured or unlicensed securities, and she's come out scot-free and all these kind of, you understand, there's just no such thing as get rich quick. It almost always will do that. You say, well, I got an uncle, he gave me some money. Well, you got rich quick because he loved you. But most everything else, man, this is just not how it works. 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness, contentment with great gain. We want everything now. We want everything now. I was getting gas in Virginia. I was on my way to preach a revival about four or five years ago, special services. I was on my way, and a guy pulled up in a beautiful BMW. And I'm geeking out, man. This is a beautiful BMW, and I'm looking at it, and it's all shiny. And a guy comes in, and he pulls out a. It looked to me what I thought was a black Amex card, which I've always heard those are for high rollers. And I'm thinking, man, this dude is loaded. This dude's loaded, but he must be lost, because I was in a really lousy looking gas station. You know, I had to get gas, had to go to the restroom, and needed some caffeine. I had the trifecta, and I didn't care where I landed. Anybody ever been there? And I could not have gone to this gas station if I'd been with my wife. My wife would have looked at it and said, no, we got to go somewhere else, because my wife has standards. I do not when I'm traveling. And I'm there, and I'm sitting there, and the dude's there. And he gets a beef jerky, and I'm going, that's a man of the people. He gets a beef jerky, and he says, and he buys hundreds of dollars worth of lottery tickets. And I'm thinking, well, this is a lark. He's putting the guy on. The guy starts ringing him up. He's falling through with it. He goes outside, and I'm kind of processing what I'm seeing, because I'm going, success and all these kind of things. And the guy comes back in. He doubles down. And he's charging all this kind of stuff, and he apparently is going out and scratching them off or whatever you do with them. And he comes back in and all, and I'm going, I don't understand. This guy has all the trappings of material success, but he hadn't figured out that, man, this doesn't work this way. You got a better chance of getting hit by lightning twice than you do winning all this other stuff. Don't do that. You'd be better off giving the money to me. Let me go buy donuts. At least you have something. And we go from there. Don't do this. And by the way, it changes. It's been crypto or all these kind of, and again, I'm using some terms interchangeably, they're not exactly interchangeable. You be careful. You understand what is risk, and you understand that hard work and labor and being smart and being disciplined is what the Bible says to do. Number four, remember, it all belongs to God. Say it back to me. It all belongs to God. Say it one more time. It all belongs to God. We buy a car, we walk around, sometimes put hands on it. This belongs to you. Every now and then we buy a car that's a little older. Lord, help it, because it belongs to you. Help me keep going. Every so often. I've said it here a few times. I don't want to be, but we both get paid once a month, but we give every week. We give every week because I need to tell myself it isn't my money. And I put in the offering plate, try and spread it out, so I have the diligence on Friday or Saturday writing a check. This belongs to you. This is all yours. It all belongs to him. Take your shoes off, walk around your house barefoot. This all belongs to you. Get in your car. If you can find the bottom floor where you've been eating out, eating at McDonald's, you can find it. Lord, this all belongs to you. I am just a steward. I'm just a manager of it. Matthew 25, 21, his Lord said to him, well done. You're good and faithful, servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Colossians says, and not unto men. Knowing of the Lord, you receive the reward. God pays attention. And that helped. That helped young Rodney. And that's a good reminder to old Rodney. The Lord pays attention. He knows what you're doing with what he's blessed you with. By the way, how many of you figured out, if you won't be careful, if you won't be responsible for a little bit, why in the world is he going to trust you with more? Why in the world is he going to trust you with more? Be faithful. It doesn't belong to me. It is not our stuff. It is his. It belongs to him. I am simply managing me, mine, and mine. I don't want to do that. Number five, money's not evil. Greed is. For the love of money is the root of all evil, the root of all kinds of evil. Money is a wonderful tool, but it's a lousy master. Somebody say amen to that. It's a wonderful tool, but it's a lousy master. Money's not evil. Greed is. Sometimes that verse is misquoted. You can use money. Some of you today, man, you've sent money to missionaries and you've put your deposit, you put your stuff in. You want the money to be used here in Arden Valley, and God has blessed you. Some of you sent money to the Pregnancy Care Center, or you'll send money here or there, and you'll do that, and you understand wonderful tool that is there. It is a lousy master. It will grind you down. It's a great resource. People do all kinds of things because they love. By the way, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You start chasing a dollar hard enough, and nothing will get in your way. How many of you have been in church, known the Lord long enough to know people who used to and no longer do, and you can lay it at the feet of love of money, and it has caused them to err? And when they didn't err, they poisoned their children. I'm not interested in that. If you're not interested in that, would you say amen with me? I want to make sure that it is a wonderful tool, but I have a good Lord and Savior. Good Lord and Savior. Number five, money's not even. Number six, generosity blesses you, and it blesses those who you're generous to. Blesses you and blesses those who you're generous to. Blesses the giver and the recipient. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Greek word is hilarion there, the word we would get transliterated to hilarious. God loves it when you are just thrilled to do that. I keep waiting for it. And Mark, I may need you to get back there with the camera and stuff, just by the offering box. Somebody come back. How many of you like to see that? How many of you like to see Keith go back there and drop his check in and do a big belly bump on Mark? How many of you pay to see that? Man, that'd be awesome. Some of you, or do the icky shuffle and all. Jordan goes back there, man. Of course, Jordan's a digital guy. Jordan goes back there. He does the digital thing because he's a young guy. He does the digital thing, and Jeff Holland sees him, and they give up high and they go down low and they wiggle like this and they fanny bump each other. How many of you think, man, that'd be a great way to give? Amen. Do you think that's what's going on there? How many of you think it's probably not, but it'd be fun to see? It'd be fun to see, yeah. During the missionary times, you give extra $10 to a missionary. You go, yes. You know, that'd be awesome, right? I think it's more the spirit. Most of us give like we're showing up for the dentist, because we know we're about to get scolded, right? Man, this is the greatest thing I do. God has blessed me, given me life, give me another day. Every day's a good day. And I got some stuff. And God, who doesn't need my stuff, says I can bless, and as a give through a local church, man, as we do the mission of God, man, I get to be a part of that, and the exponent factor that's there, and he knows from where I give and how much I've had to give, and my $10 or my $100 or my $1,000 may not be as much as others, but percentage-wise, it's a big deal to me, and God grades on that percentage, and all of a sudden, man, I get to do that. The most fun you'll ever have, being generous, tight-fisted, is not the idea. He that has a bountiful eye will be blessed. He gives of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal, the generous soul be made fat. He that waters shall be watered himself. You want to be happy? Learn to be generous. What can I do for King Jesus? What can I do? It'll be a blessing to others. 1st guy I ever heard it was a preacher from Indiana. It wasn't original with him. He said, as long as you keep that hand closed, you can receive nothing else. Best thing you ever learn to do is just keep that open hand. God can refill. Be generous. Learn to be generous. Anybody grow up with somebody, a grandparent, uncle, maybe it was a parent or step-parent, and every time you ask for something, you got a lesson on history? I remember when, well, things are expensive. Didn't I just give you $5? Anybody grew up with a parent, grandparent, step-parent like that? How many of you are sitting close to them? Yeah. Let me help you. Your heavenly Father has never done that to you. Can you imagine? Give us this day our daily bread. I fed you yesterday. God, I got a scan coming up. Well, I kept you alive. Can you imagine if God was as capricious and bitter acting as we are? People we would say we would die for, and we turn into a Charles Dickens character anytime somebody asks us for something. God save us. Number 7, don't forget. I'm done. I got 2 minutes. You can't take it with you, but you can make an eternal impact. You can't take it with you, you can make an eternal impact. You can make an eternal impact. You can bless, you can give, you can do, you can model, you can model. You can do all of these kinds of things. We were in the NICU yesterday afternoon visiting baby Oakley and the Diffin family, and Got to hold baby Oakley's hand, or she held my hand. I didn't think I was getting it back. Strong. 3.5 week old baby. Strong. She got it. Started wiggling it. She finally let go. And they were there. I was walking by this dedicated this person, and this dedicated this person. See, we get that hospitals and buildings and stuff like that. People leave a legacy that blesses all kind of other people. Everybody in here gets that. Man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful somebody decided with their legacy they're going to do that, because there's just world-class facilities downtown for premature babies and their parents. Thrilled. You can do that. We'll have the Simmons from Simmons are flying out in about a week. We'll have them early fall. You've helped dig 3 wells. You helped build an airstrip. You helped lead people to Jesus. They just had a ladies' meeting. You helped buy the snacks for. You have been able to do things. Marcus and Chad up there, they had 100 and some people the other day. Man, they've had all kind of people baptized. You are helping plant a church in the transient area that is Sevierville and Kodak. You are doing that to Hamptons. Brother Hampton just had a birthday. You're helping them. People are driving 19 miles one way because there is no gospel church, and they don't pass a gospel church in Montana to get to where they are. You're having that impact in their hearts and lives. Some of you, because people were generous, your life has been changed in this church. And God wants to remind you, boy, what an impact you're making. What an impact you're making. What a thrill. What God is doing in your heart and your life. I've got little 4 things. I'm done. make sure you answer them. I love God more than, and then make sure you put whatever it is that usually pops up there. I will break free. If you're struggling, get on the right path. Get some counseling. None of us are any good to start with. I told you, man, I was terrible at it. I will dedicate my use of his resources by doing what? I will plan to get whatever, and then I want my life to count. I want my life to count. I want my life to count for eternity. My life to count for eternity. Few things tell on us more than this. Just few things do. Few things bring us more misery. Few things bring us more fights and arguments. Few things. But rightly used, and they're wonderful tools. Wonderful tools. How many of you like me? You want to use his resources that he's entrusted to me for his glory. How many of you like me? How many of you maybe need to stop treating it as a math problem and get back into this as maybe more of a spiritual problem? Let me follow his principles for my life concerning his stuff. Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Again, we're so thankful and appreciative and for what God's doing in our heart and life right now. Let me just remind you again, it all starts with you and your sin. Brother Marsh said it so well. Sin just poisons everything about us. It changes everything about us. If you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins, if you've never asked him to be the Lord of your life, today is your day. Today is this great opportunity you have. The Bible says you need to confess. I need to agree with what God says about me and my sin. I'm not arguing. I'm not debating. I'm not trying to